This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, August 3, 2014. The Seventh Sunday After Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. May the words of my mouth and meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. These are the words from our first reading today, which is from the prophecy of Isaiah, way, way back in the Old Testament. Invitation. It's an invitation to everyone. It's not an invitation to some special folks who know this or that about God. It's not an invitation to rich people. It's an invitation to everyone. Sindri, I've talked before just several months ago about this whole concept of invitation, and I don't want to go there. Today I want to sort of focus on to what we are invited. And we have to have a proper understanding to the meal to which we are invited, the banquet to which we are invited. Again, when you talk about invitations, we have to understand that the invitation is an illustration of God's grace. His grace is offered to all, as I said. It doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you are, grace is offered to all, but only those who thirst are justified. By thirst, I mean those who will respond to the invitation. When I went through my spiel on invitations several months ago, I emphasized the fact that, you know, what is an invitation if you don't respond to it? I mean, it could be the most glorious-looking invitation you ever got in your life. It could have this big menu on it. But man, that sounds really good. I can't wait to go. But guess what? If you don't go, you're going to be hungry. You've got to accept the invitation. The invitation is grace. The acceptance of that grace is to those who are justified. That's only there are only three verses in the first reading today. Three verses. Out of the 55th chapter, the first three verses, if you are one to take notes, chapter 55, verses 1 through 3. And in three verses, you get this idea of, here's an invitation, you have to respond. And you have words like, come to the waters, come to buy and eat, come to buy wine and milk, hearken diligently to me, incline your ear to me. So you have the invitation, that's a given. But then there's that emphasis on your response. So, again, I don't want to talk about invitation today. Today I want to talk about to what our response, what is this banquet to which we have been invited? And you have to embrace what you have as a Catholic to understand what you have at this banquet far exceeds any illustration that can ever be given to you. And the Bible is replete with illustrations when it comes to meals. Food, meals, banquets, celebrations, they are all illustrative of something. They all point forward to something. With that in mind, that laid a foundation right there. Now let's talk about the Old Testament for a minute, all right? The Old Testament, animal sacrifices and all that other good stuff that they used to do in the temple. You know, a part of that, particularly during major feast days, was a sharing of the sacrifice with the people. What is the idea of the sharing of this sacrifice? It is, as I said before, this call of God's grace, but He communicates to us the love that He has for us. The provision that He has made for us. But we never want to be myopic about this. We never want to focus our understanding on that God's provision for us is a full belly. Right? We live in a society, you know, talking about, you know, eating, you know, it doesn't matter where you live. Eating is near and dear to your heart. In our society, that's on the one end of the spectrum where we probably do it too much. All right? Full belly is a big thing for us. All right? There are other places in the world where they don't have anything to eat. They go days without something to eat. an empty belly is telling to them. It doesn't matter where you live or who you are, you understand this idea of God's provision when it comes to food. And everyone wants a full belly. That is such a, it is so inconsequential to what our Lord provides for us in His grace. It is so inconsequential to the true meal to which we have been invited. As I said, in the Old Testament, sharing of the sacrifice that was given in the temple, or to have certain days when the king would provide for the people this, that, or the other thing to eat, it all pointed forward to something that God was going to do for us that far exceeded a full belly. In the New Testament, these ideas of food and banquets and celebrations, they take on a whole new level. A whole new level. Again, in the Old Testament, it was all about eating something. Again, they understood that God provided for them so that they could have a full belly, but they really didn't have a concept of to how glorious what His blessings were for them. We start to see that in the New Testament. You see that in the New Testament gospel reading this morning. In the gospel reading, you look and you see our Lord Jesus Christ feeding 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. 5 loaves. Get your mind around that for a second. Put yourself, you know, here I am, you know, trying to take it to the next level of spirituality. Put yourself in Publix, all right? Put yourself in Publix and picture 5 loaves of bread. And put yourself at the meat counter and look at 2 fish that are laying there. And then kind of put your mind in 5,000 people. It's a lot of folks. 5,000 people. And then picture 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish being used to feed them to the point where they are all full and there are 12 baskets full of stuff left over. Something supernatural is going on right here. And it is a miracle. It's not some mythological illustration of God's, Jesus' provision for us. He truly did feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and there were truly 12 baskets of things left over. It really happened. He's taking us to the next level of this illustration of what God truly provides for you. Jesus Christ is the one who provides. It's not a matter of having a full belly. Your Lord Jesus Christ will provide more than you could ever possibly think you need. And He does it supernaturally. That's why the parable, the feeding of the historical narrative of the feeding of the 5,000, and then the other when He feeds 3,000 people in the gospel accounts. It's pointing forward. It's showing how glorious the provision for us, His love and His grace for us truly is. In the words of institution, the Lord's Supper, take this, all of you, and eat of it. For this is my body, which will be given up for you. Our Lord Jesus Christ takes this food analogy, this eating illustration, and He takes it to the next level. It's not about bread anymore. It is about me. It is about the provision that I make for you. That's what this is about. Not eating. Eating has always been an illustration, and it gets more and more profound. And then at the Last Supper, it's the pinnacle of the eating illustration. I want to stop there for a second. I just said that the Last Supper was the pinnacle of an illustration. And it was just that. The Last Supper was an illustration. And it is for no more, because now we know truly what all this supper talk pointed to. The sacrifice of Calvary. The true provision, the ultimate provision that our Lord Jesus Christ makes for each and every one of us. And it is truly unfortunate. This is why I want to stop here for a second, because as Catholics we need to understand this. Because so many of us don't. There are a lot of Catholics out there who believe when they come to Mass that for some reason that they are reenacting or viewing a dramatization of the Last Supper. You are not. The Last Supper was the pinnacle illustration. But after that final illustration, we don't need that anymore. You do not see in the Mass a enactment of the Last Supper. You are at Calvary, where all the eating illustrations came to fruition. It's not about suppers anymore. I am not up there putting on a show for you. Again, to dramatize the Last Supper. But there are so many Catholics who... I hear this regularly. People that come to visit here, they'll say, well, I liked everything. The music was nice. Everything. I really don't like the fact... And you have your back to us. No, I do not. I do not have my back to you. We are all facing the Lord Jesus Christ, body, blood, and soul, divinity, on the altar. It's about His sacrifice. That is what the Mass has for over 2,000 years. The emphasis of the Mass has been on sacrifice. If you open the Catechism of Council of Trent, and you say, well, we don't use that one anymore. The new one replaced it. That is not how Catholicism works. Nothing replaces anything. It builds on it. So the Catechism of the Council of Trent is still in as much force as it was as the day it was written. And if you read the Catechism of the Council of Trent, it says that the Lord's Supper signifies three things. The Eucharist signifies three things. And guess what? A meal is not one of them. It doesn't have anything to do with eating food anymore. It has to do with the sacrifice of Calvary. It has to do with our Lord hanging on the cross and representing that in a bloodless way to the Father. That's the pinnacle prayer of the Church. A reenactment of a supper does not make a pinnacle prayer of the Church. Representing the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ does. That's the Mass. That's what you participate in. Listen to the words. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the words of institution, did not say, take this, all of you, and eat of it, because this was a really cool dinner that we all had in communion one with another. There is not even an allusion toward anything like that. He says, take this, all of you, and eat it, for this is my body, which was given for you. He is taking us over the threshold of suppers and banquets and taking us to embrace His true being that He has given for us, that He wants us to take into ourselves. That's what the Mass is. It is so much more profound when you understand it as that. So much more profound. Again, not a dramatization of a meal, but truly His body, blood, soul, and divinity. St. Paul in Corinthians does not write, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you bring to remembrance this Last Supper that everybody had, because it's a big fellowship thing. No. He says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He come. It is all about the sacrifice now. After that one event of the Last Supper, the flower of all those other illustrations, our Lord Jesus Christ takes us to the next level. That's what we should appreciate and understand about our faith. That's what we should appreciate and understand about what goes on at the Mass. I am not putting on a show for you. We are all sacrificing our Lord Jesus Christ in a bloodless way, representing that to the Father. That should make us confident beyond all doubt that He's going to answer the prayers that we offer in Mass, the intentions that we offer in Mass, because He is not looking at us and not what He asked for. He's looking at His Son hanging on the cross. Because He is a timeless God, and He still pictures it as if the day was happening right then and there. He appreciates the sacrifice. So the only analogy we have now as far as food goes is that we receive the very finest of foods, that true bread which came down from heaven. That's what the Mass is all about. I feel sorry for folks who think that it's a representation of the Last Supper, because it falls so short when you don't appreciate what it truly is. And it's not near the confidence in the answer of your prayers if you really appreciate representing the sacrifice to the Father. You are invited to this meal. You are invited to an eternal banquet. The call is made at all times throughout history. The Hebrew people were called to God. The apostles were called by our Lord Jesus Christ. The apostles called people in their day, and it is your mission to call other people to enjoy what you have been called to. And it's important to understand that as the call is made at all times, It's made to all times for the one sacrifice. The people in the Old Testament look forward to the cross. We look back in time to the cross. It is an eternal banquet. If you were paying attention, and I hope you were, the very last verse, the very last part of the last verse in Isaiah, it says, I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, merciful love for David. You're like, oh, he's talking about this invitation, he's talking about buying this and eating and all this kind of stuff, and what's it got, what's David have to do with it? He made a promise to David that one would sit on the throne of David for all eternity. That came to fruition in our Lord Jesus Christ. Because our Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven and he is seated on the throne of David making intercession for each and every one of us right at this very moment. And just as sure as God's promise was fulfilled to David, and we know that historically and objectively that it was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ, he will be equally faithful to you. Those are the promises of his Holy Spirit. And to deny them is the uttermost of blasphemy. To question them is an absolute blasphemy. He's made promises that he will keep if you just respond to the invitation in faith and obedience. Listen to the words today during the canon of the Mass, because it is so, you know, particularly if you're a daily Mass person or you go more than a couple, you know, more than just on Sunday, you know, it can get to the point where, okay, here's the canon, and that's when you start drifting off, because I hear the same thing. Listen to the words today. Listen to the words of the canon. Listen to how many times the word sacrifice is used in the Roman canon. There's not a whole lot of talk about meals. There's not a talk about eating anymore. It's all talking about sacrifice. Listen to the words, because the prophet says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and I'll leave you with this, that as you approach the altar today, again, listen to the words, because you're fulfilling what our Lord says when he says, incline your ear and come to me. Hear, that your soul may live. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.